We present The Sound of Football.
Instead of just giving the fourth Champions League place to the team that finished fourth, instead, there should be a playoff of sorts.
Well, I think it might not be a bad idea. Can you imagine how much money Portsmouth would have spent if they'd had this? So actually, yeah, I think it's a terrible idea. I'm going to change my mind. If I had my way, the title would be decided in this kind of NHS style postcode lottery.
Greetings and welcome to another show of The Sound of Football, show 28 if I'm not mistaken. It's me, Chris Oakley, here once again with my two cohorts, Terry DeFellin and Graham Sibley. Welcome, fellas.
Hello.
Well, this week I fear we must return to domestic matters once again. Giddy as we have been on the talk of Euro 2012 and England's World Cup campaign, I think it's time to look at the Premier League once again. By my reckoning, we're now entering the final third of the season, and I just had a look at the old league table earlier on, and it looks to me as if you've got kind of five strata, if I can use that term, five kind of levels within the table, and I suppose, sort of putting it bluntly, you've got the top three, Chelsea, Man U, Arsenal, you've got the four for fourth, as I'm calling it, which is Spurs, Man City, Liverpool and Aston Villa. You've got the middle five who are kind of not going anywhere, and that's Birmingham, Blackburn, Stoke, Everton and Fulham. The relegation seven, which is West Ham, Sunderland, Burnley, Hull, Bolton, Wigan and Wolves, who are obviously in danger of going down. And then the fifth strata is basically Portsmouth, because let's face it, they're going down. There's no two ways about that, unless you two think otherwise, but I'm sure we'll come to them in due course if we've got time. Anyway, taking each of those in due course, we'll start off with the top three, then Chelsea, Man U and Arsenal. Coming to you first, Terry, I think, on this one.
Okay.
Chelsea, as we know, firm favourites for most of the season thus far. In most people's eyes, they've done pretty well. They've been the most consistent of the three. Do you feel that the only sort of people that can actually stop them winning the title are themselves, on the basis of all these... obviously, we know about all these stories that have been coming out, John Terry and Ashley Cole and so on and so forth. We've heard in the last week or so that someone, we think probably Roman Abramovich, has used an agent within the club to tell the players, any more of this nonsense and we'll start sort of fining you lots of money. And so in view of all of that, do you think that because the tabloids particularly are bound to sort of carry on digging away and look for more stories. Could this basically come back to bite them, and could they end up losing their grip on winning this title?
Conceivably, Chris, but only in a footballing sense. I don't think that the off the field tittle tattle is going to worry Ancelotti. The only thing that would probably worry him would be any loss of form as a mm-hmm. consequence. And I think you only have to look to John Terry for that. Ashley Cole's academic because he's injured. I think that's probably a bigger blow for them. That they've lost their left back. John Terry has been a bit shaky, certainly against Everton, wasn't he? He was caught off guard, and I think people were a bit kind to him by saying that, you know, he had a lot on his mind, and maybe what he needs is a weekend in Dubai to take his mind off of him, and he'll mm-hmm. probably come back a stronger player. But, I mean, you know, those kind of balls were foxing him the last time Everton played Chelsea earlier in the season. And so there is perhaps some worries, and also there are worries over their set pieces, and have been all season, about their inability to defend set pieces. So looking at the Everton magnificent result against Chelsea for Everton, and indeed it should be said magnificent result against Manchester United, and indeed dropping points at Hull, and you do sort of think, well, even against Burnley they were a little bit shaky, they won through in the end and that's fine, but they could be vulnerable. I said Chelsea at the beginning of the season, I'm going to stick with Chelsea, but I don't think any of the teams come out looking particularly good this year. I think they've all got their deficiencies. I think Chelsea perhaps have less than the other two, which is why I'm still sticking with them.
I only mentioned this sort of point because I'm just thinking, I mean, I think a lot of the papers today were sort of saying Ashley Cole may be getting done 200 grand, which is, they think, 2 weeks' wages. And you just think, if more stories do come out and more money is going to end up getting docked to each of these players, whether their morale will go down. But Yeah, as you say, if I think as long as Ancelotti can keep their minds focused, one suspects they can kind of keep plodding on.
Ashley Cole's morale it doesn't really make a hill of beans for the moment because he's not playing. It's only when we get towards the end of the. I mean, I would argue that probably by the time he's rehabilitated, it's not going to make much difference either way to Chelsea. So I wouldn't be too worried about that were I a Chelsea fan, but I would be more worried about their inability to deal with set pieces, their away form, and perhaps the general state of mind of their captain.
Yes, I suspect Ashley Cole needs no help in having his pecker being kept up. Now, coming to you, Graham, if I may, Arsenal, as we know, Arsenal's hopes were written off by a lot of people, probably including mine, probably including me earlier on this season, but they've come back. And they're not far off the pace now. What do you reckon? I mean, they've probably got to go a bit to catch up Man United, I suspect, in many ways. But where do you suspect, in view of the fact that they've now no longer got to play Chelsea or Liverpool or Man U for the rest of the season, is that going to go in their advantage? Or is it, as I suspect, the case that they've really got to start nailing these matches against the so-called lesser teams now?
Well, I think that's probably been the strength of Arsenal this season is the fact that they have got points against the lesser teams. There are a couple of very notable exceptions in that, but it's been in the major games that they've really come unstuck. Mm. So yeah, people say, well, you know, they're running the easiest, but I think if you look at it sensibly, yes, they haven't got these big games coming up, but also, as well, is there always going to be playing catch up? I think in this run up, I don't think there's going to be a time when they're going to have they don't have the time to go into any sort of lead to hold on to. So if they do take it, it would be on the last game of the season, I reckon.
Mm.
I just can't see that happening. Really, it would be nice for it to happen, but you are relying on. I could see it happening if it was just one of Man United or Chelsea above Arsenal, but not both. They won't both cock it up that severely.
No.
I think another thing as well against Arsenal is the fact that they're out of the top three, they're the only one that have played more home games than away games.
Right.
So there is also that tiny disadvantage, which when you're playing catch up, you know, you need every advantage you can get, and that's not playing in their favour. Of course, you know, Chelsea and Man United do have to play each other, so they do have to take points.
Somebody's going to miss out, there, aren't they? Yeah,
Sorry.
And Walcott's playing better as well. He seems to be coming back to form a little bit now.
Well, I thought he played his best game at the weekend that he has done all season. He still looked like he was sort of running too fast for the rest of the team to play with him. But
there's that one point where he kind of sprinted past, I think it was George McCartney in the Sunderland defence, and got down to the other end of the pitch, only to find there was no one in.
There was absolutely no one there. Yeah,
twice. That happened twice.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
In fairness to Walcott, didn't know what to do with it, did he? And in fairness, it was a sign of a mark of a guy returning from injury, because if he had more confidence about him, if he hadn't have come back from injury, then he might have done something with a little bit more interesting with that ball, either held it up or even tried to even score. But as it was, he kind of went, eek, what do I do now? And that sign of a player still returning from injury and still returning from confidence. But
I think it was a good game for him, because I think he got the measure of McCartney very, very, very quickly. And the only thing that Bruce could do was to put Darren Bent back there to try and help his defender out, and that didn't work at all.
I think that made it worse, actually, didn't it?
So, I mean, I think it was a good one for Walcott to get a bit of confidence back. I mean, yeah, he did come back at just the wrong time when Arsenal were going through a really sort of like difficult group of games. But you know, everyone knew that Arsenal were going to face that period of games, and to be on the other side of it, still within touching distances, and also 9 points clear of fourth spot is a fantastic bonus. Because of course, the top three don't have to are straight into the Champions League next season, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, only 2 points behind Man U. So, as you say, in view of the fact that Chelsea and Man U, somebody there's going to lose points, then you know, Arsenal just got to keep consistent. One would have to suggest.
Well, I would suggest that out of the top three at the moment, I still think that Chelsea are going to win, and I think Arsenal could take second place. I think they're well placed to take second place because I can't see Man United holding on to it at the moment if they play any more games like they did against Everton at the weekend, because Everton really went at them and they got a deserved win.
Yeah, I think a number of people have sort of noted the fact that Man U looked quite sluggish against Everton in their 3-1 defeat at the weekend. Fergie basically saying that his players were tired after what was probably quite an intense and high tempo match against Milan, which they won in the Champions League during the week. But fair enough and all that, but the fact that his team were tired, I mean, Fulham played against Shakhtar Donetsk on Thursday and they had to play at the weekend as well and actually ended up beating Birmingham. And I know it's not quite, you know, Shakhtar is probably not quite the equivalent of AC Milan exactly, but they've had to do pretty much the same thing in an equivalent sort of way. Is that an excuse, tiredness, either of you? Surely if you've got a big squad like Man U have got, then you have to sort of factor in a big campaign and...
I think if you play the way that Man United have been playing this season, where you're playing with a very high tempo, very physical style, then yes, tiredness is going to come into it.
Yeah.
And it happened a bit with them last season. They pretty much stumbled over the line in the end because they were looking like
dead on
their
feet.
Like George Foreman. Basically, in the fight against the Muhammad Ali, with a massive punch, but you know they look dead on their feet.
Yeah.
And you know,
Fulham play a similarly high tempo game, and they press all over the park. Didn't seem to have the same problems against Birmingham that Manchester United have against Everton. And I don't think there's too much difference between Everton and Birmingham, although at the moment, you know, attacking wise, Everton are magnificent. Shakhtar, I watched the Fulham Shakhtar game, and the Shakhtar in patches were awesome. But it was suggested that perhaps they were a little ring rusty because the Ukrainian football season hasn't started yet, and it was said that they were only able to play in patches. And when they were playing, those three Brazilians that they had there were for me the match of any Champions League side, and Fulham I think did really really well to get a home win. I don't expect them to go through to the next round. I expect Shakhtar to win in the next round. But I mean, Fulham deserve a great deal of credit for that. And yeah, I'm not quite sure you can. I mean, I think Man United could claim to be tired, but I think being beaten 3-1 by Everton will tire you out. And so, you know, I wouldn't want to take anything away from Everton's achievement. Frankly, it was they took Manchester United to the cleaners.
I'm hoping they'll be tied out for the next match because it's against West Ham. But they're also, of course, Man U playing Aston Villa in the League Cup final next Sunday. So it's going to be interesting seeing how he plays that, who he decides to rest, and so on and so forth. But anyway, that's pretty much your top three that we were sort of discussing a moment ago. In terms of the battle for fourth, we've got these four. I have to say, to my mind, inconsistent teams, Liverpool, Man City, Villa and Tottenham, they all have their purple patches and then they all sort of go a bit flat, and I really don't quite know what to make of any of them. At the moment, you've got Tottenham and Man City level on 46 points and Liverpool and Villa on 45. Why are you sniggering there, Sibley?
Well, I was just thinking, like the way you just described those teams, especially Tottenham, you could have been describing Roman Pavlyuchenko, couldn't you?
I was reading, I think it was in The Independent today, somebody sort of saying, if this is an advert for the... I think it was regarding the Liverpool v Man City game. He said, if this is an advert for the fourth place playoff, then you can keep it, basically, because it was apparently one of the most dour, boring games ever seen, I think. But,
interesting point, though.
Yeah, well, quite, yeah. And being sort of brutally honest, do we need a fourth place in the Premier League, maybe give it to another country? I'm not suggesting they do, for obviously it's remaining patriotic to the last, but going back to those four teams, Liverpool are they have do seem to have turned a corner of sorts. I mean, they're not still not you know, as reliable as a lot of people, not least Liverpool fans, would hope they to be. But they've got Torres back. Apparently Johnson is back in training, so they've got that going for them. Man City seem to be, according to Mancini himself, seem to be desperately lacking Tevez at the moment. He's gone off because his wife's just given birth, I think, prematurely to a baby. So he's gone back to Argentina, and there's no date set for him to come back, which is rather worrying for Man City fans. I don't know if you've either of you seen Adam Johnson, though. He's been quite a revelation, the new signing from Middlesbrough. He's injected a bit of life into the Man City team. And then you've got Aston Villa, who, according to my notes here, they've only had 2 wins in the last 8 Premier League games. They took a while to break down Burnley at the weekend, but ended up beating them 5-2. And, of course, they've got the FA Cup replay, Terry, coming up against Palace.
Indeed.
Of course, the League Cup final we mentioned before. Just very, very briefly as an aside, how do you see the replay going there?
I think that Villa will probably win.
It's at Villa, isn't it, if I remember rightly?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I imagine that Martin O'Neill said in his post-match interview that that his players had, quote, some niggles and knocks, which I think he'll be using as a pretext to drop a few guys to rest for the cup final. But I still feel that they've got enough. I went to Palace on Saturday, and they're really going to have to go some to pick themselves up after that performance against Coventry.
That was a 1-0 to Coventry in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were poor, and it was a poor game, in fairness. Now, obviously, this will be a different night, a different atmosphere, a very different atmosphere. But, you know, they are going to have to raise themselves somewhat if they're going to get past what I think is still going to be a very good Aston Villa side, even if he leaves, you know. I mean, I don't think Gagbon Lahore is playing. He might leave out guys like Milner, I suppose, and rest them and important players and that. But, you know, I still feel, the pessimist in me feels that, you know.
It's going the way of Villa.
Yeah, I think we had our chance. And we blew it.
Think of the money, as they say in the trade. And finally, Tottenham out of those four. They've still got Defoe in good goal scoring form, which will sort of.
With a little bit of help from the linesman, yeah.
Well, yeah, yes, yes. Say no more.
How offside was that? That was a second stupidly offside goal. That was the second goal in a week in which the player was actually standing in a different state. You know, when the ball was pushed.
He certainly had missed the last bus to an onside position, didn't he?
Yes. Closer in the Champions League against Fiorentina, which was a scandal, and this was just good grief. You know, I mean, as it happens, I don't think he would have made the slightest bit of difference because it was Wigan. But you know,
as it
that's
is.
Poor.
Well, they've also got an FA Cup replay to come. They're Tottenham playing Bolton during the week. But I mean, out of those four, just a sort of snap judgment from each of you. Who do you see prospering out of those four? Do you think Liverpool maybe can recall on their reserves of what they did last season, or is it likely to go to Tottenham or somebody like that? What do you reckon? A snap prediction.
I think it's going to be Liverpool.
Ooh, okay.
Terrific. Well, I think it's going to be whoever happens to be in form at the end of the season, and so I'm going to go for Liverpool as well. I should remind us that we all three of us predicted Liverpool would finish outside the top four a few weeks ago. But yeah, I mean, I'm forced to conclude. I don't have anything against Liverpool at all, but I would like them to finish outside the top four, if only to just give them the kick up the arse that club so clearly needs. But I mean, it's nothing personal against Liverpool. I mean, I'm with Danny Baker. I mean, I think Britain needs a strong pound and a strong Liverpool. I mean, it's just that, you know, it's just annoying to see them just, you know, settle for this fourth place. I'd like to see them finish sixth and, you know, on their arses for a change.
I'm kind of the same thinking, actually. I mean, I remember there was I grew up in a period when Liverpool were the dominant team, as I suspect probably we all did, really. Where,
well, we all did, mate.
Giving
yeah.
too much away about our ages. But there was I remember a former colleague of mine who was a devout Arsenal fan, and even he would he'd come into work on a Monday morning and would inevitably start off talking about Liverpool because he admired Liverpool for what they were at the time and the fact they were such a good team to watch. And it was quite infectious, really, and you sort of think, yeah, actually, yeah, a good Liverpool side are good to watch and are good for, you know, what should we say, producing a positive image of football from this country. And as you say, maybe shock treatment is required to get some life back into the patient. It has to be said that Aston Villa and Man City have a game in hand over Liverpool and Tottenham, so maybe slightly false positions at the moment and so on. But, yeah, equally sort of inconsistent, shall we say, at the moment, and it should be fascinating to see how that all pans out for the last third of the season. As far as the middle five are concerned, I say that it's rather odd that even at this stage you can safely say they've not got much to aim for. I mean, well, from Everton in eighth place, there's like a 7-point gap to Villa, which, okay, it can be bridged, that gap, but at the moment, this stage of the season, you sort of wonder what they've got to play for other than maybe avoiding being dragged into a relegation battle. But we've mentioned Fulham already. They're doing pretty well, really. They're still in Europe. Zamora's suddenly finding himself touted as a possible England player. What about that briefly? I mean, is it just people getting carried away, do you think?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Also, I mean, good luck to him if he's getting a few goals or whatever, but
he ain't getting on that plane.
It would be a triumph.
Too many long periods where he hasn't scored, and then people seem to be eager to forget that, to my mind. But sorry, go on, Terry.
It would be a triumph for him if he got a call up to a friendly, and I don't think that there's any harm in Fabio having a look at him, but I'd be really surprised if he made the step up. But he has been performing to an extent where he's demanded attention. I mean, he has orchestrated. It's not some, you know, massive PR campaign like Henry Winter and Michael Owen. You know, he's scoring spectacular goals in big games. And when you do that, you get noticed and, you know, he deserves a call-up. But I don't think he's good enough, and I don't think he'll be going to South Africa.
Quite.
But I don't see any problem with having a look at him. None at all. We could be wrong.
Indeed. Fulham have had four successive wins, so they're on a good run at the moment. As regards Birmingham, however, they seem to be running out of steam now, sadly. They seem to have had their purple patch, and as we mentioned before, they were defeated at the weekend. Stoke still doing remarkably well. They're in 11th. They've got an FA Cup replay as well. They've got to play Man City to see if they can get through at the quarterfinals. Everton flying away at the moment. As we mentioned before, great performance, and they seem to be stringing a few of these good results together now, finally, after a bit of a sort of stutter earlier on in the season. They were about third bottom, weren't they, at one point earlier in the season, so they're doing remarkably well. And congratulations to Jack Rodwell, who Sky Sports wonderfully gave him the man of the match performance at the weekend, having only played 7 minutes. So well done, Sky, for that one. Congratulations.
I thought it was good to actually see his goal. I mean, like, you know, cutting straight to commercial.
Yeah, quite. Yes, that's happened before, I seem to recall. And Blackburn also, Sam Allardyce has finally got them sort of on a consistent run. They've won four on the trot at home and are in good form. So that's your kind of middle five. And then we get to the relegation stragglers. Where to start off? I mean, West Ham, I just want to throw in my tuppence worth here. I think I've got my fingers crossed, but I think West Ham seem to have turned a bit of a corner. They're certainly playing a bit better since the whole Gold Sullivan takeover. Bit edgy to start off with, but the way that I've seen them play in the last few games, they're really well. They're just hassling the opponents. They're running after every loose ball and making lots of tackles, and they just seem to have a bit of life back in them now. And I think maybe it was just a lack of confidence that was just elusive for them in the middle sort of part of the season, but
I think one observation I've had about West Ham all season is the fact that they haven't, I can't recollect them being really seriously turned over by sides, and I think it shows because they've only got a -5 goal difference, which when you're looking at the relegation scrappers, they're normally about -20, about that sort of region. And if you're around -5, it shows that you're not really that, you're only just losing games. I think because they're at the top of that little sort of that quite big bottom group, I think they are now favourites to get out of there and start pulling away.
Certainly on current form. I tell you what, that is an excellent point, Graham, because I mean, as a West Ham fan, I can tell you right off the top of my head now that last few seasons our goal difference has, during the course of the season, regardless of where we finish, you can guarantee it's always somewhere between -10 and -20. And for us to be on only -5 with a third of the season to go is nothing short of miraculous by West Ham standards, actually. If they can keep things going, I think they're all right. But Sunderland have now slipped below West Ham, and things are looking pretty awful for them. Can't remember that. I think their last win was back in November against Arsenal, ironically, actually, November 21st. And
That'd be a lesson to all of you out there.
Yeah, don't ever do it again. no wins in the last 13 for Sunderland. Anyone betting on Steve Bruce to win the sack race as the next manager to be sacked? Possibly.
I think that would be a shame.
Yeah, certainly.
I think Steve Bruce is a very good manager, but he's having a really rough time of it. It is Sunderland, after all, and you know, having a rough time of things is something that Sunderland do very well. So I would like to think that Steve Bruce will survive this run. I think Sunderland will probably get 2 wins between now and the end of the season, find 2 wins from somewhere and stay up, much like Wigan did. When they had that awful run, if you remember, under Paul Jewell. So I think that they'll be fine. But I don't know. I get the impression that the Sunderland. I don't know. They've had some changeovers at the Sunderland board, haven't we?
With Sunderland is like what we were saying earlier. They've got even more games to play at home than most people have.
They do indeed. Yeah.
I think they've still got 7 home games left, and they've only lost twice at home this season.
Four of the next five are at home. Wow. So they should get. You know, they got Fulham, and they got Bolton, and they got Birmingham, and they got Manchester City.
Wolves and Hull both sort of straggling somewhat, although I've seen Wolves put in some good performances this year, kind of optimistic about them. But Hull, you've got to consider them, I think, for possibly going down. They're just
They're still without a win away from home, aren't
they? And if it weren't for old Myhill in goal there, I think they'd have dropped lots more points. He certainly played well against West Ham at the weekend. So Wigan we've mentioned as well, who have had some good results already this season. I'm surprised they're as low as 15th actually, but then there we are.
They've had some awful results as well though, haven't they?
Yeah. So they're all almost as sort of bad as each other, with the possible exception of say West Ham, who, as long as they can keep going, will be able to steer clear of it. And then we come to Portsmouth, who are in a little strut all of their own, and it's just. I mean, the thing is, actually, I've seen Portsmouth putting some really good performances this year, and my sort of synopsis on that is that they just seem to lack one or two, like a decent striker or two decent strikers, maybe, who can just score regularly. And if it weren't for that, I mean, putting all the financial stuff and the chaos at the side, at the club to one side, results-wise, I think that's probably what they've lacked. But it's just, they need 8 points just to overtake Burnley, who are in 19th, so... I don't think they're going to stay up. Particularly vicious that you want to add to that, fellas, regarding Portsmouth? Get it off your chest now while you've got a chance.
Well, I can't. I mean, I think you've got to look at it. They've got to get as many points as they've got the whole of this season. Mm. They've got to get that in the remainder of the season, if they've even got a slimmish chance of staying up.
Well, yeah, if they double their current points, they're up to 32, and then presumably you need 40 to stay up, so even that will be sort of too short.
I don't think you will this season. I don't think you will. I think it'll be closer to 36, 37 to stay
up. I was thinking, actually, yeah, look, I think it could be a bit less than that, given everyone's sort of inconsistencies and so on.
Even if they double their tally, they're going to get 32, which basically is them down, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. And to get that, they've got to find 5 wins from somewhere. I can't see them winning five games out of the next 12.
No way.
No.
Sorry and all that, but there we are. Right. Well, I mean, I fear that that's a real whistle stop. Synopsis of how each sort of section of the Premier League table is looking at the moment, and the potential for each of the teams. I reckon with that we come to an end for our chat this week on our podcast, except to do the usual housekeeping and stuff, just to say thanks for listening, thanks for your continued support. Don't forget to go along to the Sound of Football podcast, it's the Sound of Football website, I should say, Sound of Football. .blogspot.com. We've got an email address, which is sofpodcast@googlemail.com. You can catch us on Twitter, the usual places, Some People on the Pitch, Onion Bag, and so on and so forth. You know, all that kind of stuff. If you were at our Socrates event last week for London Football Bloggers Meetup, thank you very much indeed for coming along. We had a fantastic night, and well done again to you, Terry, for a great night. And thanks to everyone at Football Threes as well. Had a fantastic night there. I don't think I'm forgetting anything else, so I'll probably draw a line under it there. Thank you very much indeed for listening to Sound Football once again. Thanks to Terry and to Graham, and we hope to have the pleasure of your company again next week. So until then, it's goodbye from the three of us. Goodbye.
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 And now it's time for Soccer Yens.
Hello. I don't know what's a big deal with these fridges for cauliflowers. I have a fridge. No one gives me an award. Well, not the one I would ever want anyway. Goodbye.
Tune in next week for another exciting episode of Soccer Yens.